Bibles, the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. This will be our fourth lesson or fourth sermon out of Revelation 6. In our last study, we saw the third seal open by Jesus. So far, the Antichrist has arrived with the first seal. Peace was taken from the earth, and a great slaughter ensued with the opening of the second seal. And we learned last lesson, a famine hit the earth when the rider of the black horse stepped foot on the earth. We learned that a quart of wheat or three quarts of barley would cost in today's market about $148. That would be enough to feed one person for one day. We learned that this would not be enough to survive, and with the other horsemen already unleashing their atrocities from their seals, this earth would not be a place that anyone wants to be. Church, as I've stated in times past, if Christ were to return today, it is estimated that around 7 billion people will remain here. And the lessons we've learned so far should compel us to sound the gospel alarm every chance we get. But the sad truth is, we're not hearing it nearly enough from Christians. We're not. So tonight, we're going to see what happens when Jesus opens the fourth seal. So let's look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there was a pale green horse. The horseman on it was named Death, and Hades was following after him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, by famine, by plague, and by wild animals of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come back into your house tonight to learn more about you. God, we pray that you would be with those who aren't here for various reasons, whatever reasons, God. God, it's my prayer as the pastor that you would compel them to be in your house to learn more about you. God, I've preached through a lot of books, but this book is very important. It's important that we understand it. It's important that we do everything we can to warn people not to wind up here on this earth. God, please open our minds as we go through this time of study. Help us to be a greater service to you when we walk through these doors for what we're about to hear tonight. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children said, amen. As we have done the past 3 weeks, first thing I want to really address is the escalation of the destruction. Because at this point, we see Christ opening the fourth seal. Now, as you recall, there was a great service that went on in heaven because they couldn't find anybody to open these seals. God held out the document, and they searched all of heaven. They searched all of earth, under the sea, on the sea, and they could find nobody who was worthy to open this document until Jesus stepped forward. And Jesus started opening these seals, and as each one was opened, different things happened. We see an escalation of atrocities. We see one bad thing happening, and then another bad thing that outweighs the first thing happening, and then another thing that outweighs the first two things happening. Now, tonight we have something happening, and it outweighs the three that happened first. It's getting bad. Does anybody want to be here? Well, none of us in here want to be there. But church, listen, what are we doing to prevent our neighbors from being here? So the first thing I want to address is the escalation. Church, I know that I've gone over this the last three lessons, but it's imperative that we understand the type of destruction that we're seeing tonight. The church has been raptured. Millions of people have disappeared. The graves have been found empty. The world's economy days after the rapture has plunged into the world record lows. The Antichrist has arrived on the scene with the first seal being broken, bringing temporary peace. Wars are erupting all over the world over petty issues, and people are killing each other in their own communities at the drop of a hat. a great famine hit the earth with the third rider stepped foot on the earth to this point. And one day's barley feeds a person. Now we see things getting even worse when the fourth seal is broken. Is that rain? Are they calling for rain? They were. Okay, it was clear just a few seconds ago. Only in Georgia. You don't like the weather, just wait a minute. It'll change. So we see an escalation. I'm sorry, we'll try and draw back in here. We see an escalation of the destruction and the atrocities taking place. Well, Brother Kyle, why do we need to understand the escalation of the destruction tonight? We're going to be caught up in the rapture. Why should we be worried about it whatsoever at all? Because we need to be something. We need to be sounding the alarm, the gospel alarm. Do you realize that the number that was given tonight in Scripture, how many would be affected by a fourth seal being broken? The number was given was a quarter of the earth. Does that not alarm you? Does it not jar you? Does it not shake you? Once again, we want to look at what John saw. What is it exactly that John did see? Once again, the fourth time, John is summoned to step forward to see a front row version of what was about to take place on the earth in verse 7. Right here, church, where we're living. Right here. Right here. Brother Kyle, why are you stressing that? At some point, church, at some point, this message has got to get personal with you. What John is seeing is happening and is going to happen to our friends, our family, our co-workers, and people who live in our city of Savannah. Tonight, John is not the only person who has a front row seat to see the events that take place. We have a front row seat. Please understand, please, for the love of God, let it sink in what is happening with these seals being broken. It's got to get personal. This scripture has got to sink in at some point. You've got to sit at home and read it and understand. Well, you know, I'll be in heaven. This is going to affect right here. Do you realize that the day after the rapture might be a Sunday, and some people that you sat next to this morning will come to church just like nothing's happened? It's got to affect us. You've got to understand the depths of what's taking place here tonight. So you've got a front row seat. John had a front row seat. Well, what is it that John saw? Scripture tells us that John saw a pale horse riding towards the earth. The Greek word for the word pale is chloros, meaning green or yellowish pale. The horse looked as it was intended to look, as the one who rode the horse was death. So the horse served the purpose very well. It's kind of fitting that we're preaching this the day after Halloween, isn't it? I mean, we have these visions of what scares us in our minds. Listen, there's nothing that you can think of in your mind that is scarier than this horse. This is an unbelievable horse. Anybody ever seen a green horse that's not dead? It looks dead, but it's really alive. How many of y'all have lived on farms and you've walked by? I mean, I haven't lived on a farm, but I've seen this happen before. Horses don't lay down. Y'all with me? If a horse is laying down, it's either sick or it is dying or it's dead. Now, y'all have all seen those old Civil War movies. I don't know how in the world they train the horses to do what they do. Back in the old John Wayne movies, they'd shoot the horses, and you'd, oh, golly, and at the end they'd tell you no animal cruelty was, they didn't hurt those animals. It was just acting. They can shoot guns, and the horse falls over and plays dead, right? And I don't know how, but they teach them how to be stiff as well. Now, can you imagine this horse looks dead, but it's alive. Now, I've seen some scary stuff, and I've got two children who were just scaredy cats. I'm not going to name their names, but you can scare them easily. I mean, just scare them real easy. I'm not going to name any names, but listen, when this horse is seen, I don't want to see this horse. I really don't. The second thing John sees is this. The rider of the pale horse, the rider, the person who was riding this horse, was death. Death himself. Now, we have in our mind, we can imagine an idea of what death, the character, looks like. He's been painted and drawn as a skeletal figure, wearing a robe or a hood, holding a sickle. He was betrayed by Brad Pitt years ago in a movie called Meet Joe Black. To be honest, we have no real idea what death looks like, but tonight we have all the knowledge of what death acts like when death is given authority. Y'all saw that in Scripture, right? What does it mean to give authority? That means that death has permission. Permission. Given authority. They are given a seal of approval to carry out what it is they want to carry out. Death has authority. He has permission. We don't know what he looks like, but we know what his agenda is. Now, when you have authority, when you have permission, what do you normally do? Now, y'all know what I'm talking about here. I remember when I was a child, my parents would say, look, you know, we're going out tonight. You don't have permission to go over to Andy Pfeiffer's house, and you don't have permission to you have to stay right here in the house, right? Y'all with me? Everybody awake. Don't let that rain put y'all to sleep. But every now and then when your parents were home, they'd say, look, you know, Mom, can I go? Yeah, go do what you want to do. What did you do? Everything you wanted to do and some things you shouldn't have done, right? Right? You had all the authority to do what you wanted to do. That's what we see tonight with death. Well, why hasn't death, you know, death, hold on a second. People have died since people have been alive. Well, yeah, that's true. What's kept death from wreaking havoc before now? God. Now, how does death work now? What's their time? Well, how does death know it's their time? God tells them it's their time. But tonight, we see something unbelievable take place. Death is unleashed. Death has authority. Death has permission to go and to do to the earth whatever he wants to do. Does that scare you? It doesn't scare me personally. It scares me for people who are going to be here. It doesn't make me want to sit on this knowledge. Listen, you do realize once you leave here tonight, maybe you shouldn't have come tonight. Because you're going to have this knowledge, and to have this knowledge, you're going to have to do something with it. You're either going to have to tell it, or you're going to have to put it in your pocket and forget about it. I do not suggest you have this knowledge and do nothing with it. Now, verse 8 tells us of an unusual following, of a pale rider being Hades. The King James Version uses the word hell. John Phillips paints a picture of a street sweeper. This individual, Hades or hell, like a street sweeper, driving down a road after a ticker tape parade as death kills 1/4 of the earth's population. Hades retrieves what remains, their souls. Now, it's assumed, now pay attention to this, because this is real. I had trouble with this, and I'm not 100% comfortable with what I'm about to say, but it's the only way to word it. It's assumed that those who will lose their lives are lost, as they're not taken up in the rapture. And the witnesses have not been loosed to win souls for the Lord yet. It's not entirely possible, though, to assume that some of those of the quarter of the earth who were killed who had not heard the gospel and had repented. But church, that thought at this time is a stretch. It's a stretch. What are you saying, Brother Kyle? What I'm saying is this. The church is raptured. The seals are being opened. We're on the fourth seal now. All those people who have died before, The fourth seal is opened, plus the quarter of the earth that's getting ready to be wiped away. You have to think in your mind, are they saved or are they lost? Well, they didn't get caught up in the rapture. So when the rapture takes place, are they saved? No. If they'd have been saved, they'd have been caught up in the rapture, right? So this quarter of the earth that's wiped away, could it be that some of them might have repented at this point in time? It's possible, but it's a stretch. It's an absolute stretch. Well, Brother Kyle, you know, what's the big deal here? Well, you know, what are you talking about? If there's an estimated close to 7 billion people on this earth, that means that 1,750,000,000 people will be wiped out like that. Sit there comfortable in your pews. Let that sink in. 1,750,000,000 people wiped out while you Christians sing your glorious songs in your church and do nothing as you walk out the door. 1 billion. Is it getting personal yet? My family, your family, my friends, your friends are going to be caught up in this. And we're doing little to nothing about it. And we call ourselves Christians. Verse 8 now goes into detail as to how death is going to take life here on this earth. Some of the ways are already in effect. To kill by the sword was granted with the opening of the second seal and would continue. It would continue on. The second death that's mentioned is by famine. This was granted by the opening of the third seal and was still in effect. The next two methods of death were new and could be seen as a direct result of the second and third seals being opened already. These are new. They're not new methods of death, but they're new ways that death is going to take people here on this earth. Doesn't sound real bad, does it? It doesn't sound too bad. You know, maybe they'll go quickly. Let's look at the two new deaths. The first one is death by plagues. As some commentary writers interpret, pestilence is a new method of death. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I didn't grow up in this part of Georgia. I grew up in upstate South Carolina. And a pestilence can mean a variety of things. Look in your commentaries. I mean, it talks, pestilence can be, it can be locusts, but there was a virus. What was they were putting in envelopes and putting anthrax. There's a lot of commentary writers use that as because the way it disperses itself is just it's the same effect as pestilence. But as I was growing up, church, find this hard to believe, we didn't have fire ants in upstate South Carolina. Matter of fact, I don't remember them in the low part of South Carolina. I don't ever remember seeing a fire ant until I was about 14 years old, and I accidentally found out about fire ants. I didn't know about them. Nobody had ever told me about them, never seen them before. I went to my granddaddy's grave, and I was standing there looking at my granddaddy's grave, and, you know, fire ants are mean. They're evil. They don't just one jump on you. They all climb aboard, and then one of them blows a trumpet, and then they all, you know, jump in at one time. That was my first. You know, what happened? Well, they migrated up, and they're still going. I've seen them close to the mountains of North Carolina, just as close as they can get to. Well, where are you going with this, Brother Kyle? Hey, listen, there are many varieties of pestilences. I really, you know, we can speculate here, but we don't have a clue. What's in Africa, in Central America, or really Central America, that's creeping its way up north as well? Killer bees. Now, y'all don't know this, But when I was a kid, they'd show it around Halloween. Y'all remember the Killer Bee movies? Goodness gracious. I wouldn't eat honey for a month. Y'all remember Jim, you remember the Killer Bee movies? Them bees, you don't mess with them killer bees. They'll sting you. They'll kill you dead. They're moving up. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying here? Listen, the new death is first of all, plagues or pestilences. This is a new method. What's taking place with the first four seals being broken? We see all kinds of war and just unbelievable atrocities taking place. Well, what usually follows behind war? Huh? Yeah, but watch the news. Watch even tonight. You'll see it. When wars break out, you see these refugees coming out. Y'all with me? And when the refugees come out, they'll leave in mass numbers. Now, I'm just as baffled with these Syrian refugees. You see them in mass. Have y'all noticed that it's all men? The majority of them are men. Now, I have a problem with sending our men over there if their own men won't stand and fight. Brian, can I get an amen from you? I do, but see, listen, these refugees come out. Where do they sleep? Well, they camp. And you'll see they'll cross country lines and countries that are sympathetic. They'll set up these big, huge tent cities. Well, after the tent cities, are there for, about 2 or 3 days, guess what starts to happen? Dysentery, disease. Well, from what? Well, they don't have clean drinking. They don't have commodes. They just can't pop up these things at all. Well, yeah, it's got a commode and running water. No, it's just a tent. They go to the bathroom anywhere they can. And when you've got millions of people in one location, guess what happens? You get dysentery. You've got some major issues from these tent cities. Listen, John Phillips says this about war and famine. War and famine invariably give up to plagues or rise up to plagues. Listen to this. 20 million people died in the influenza epidemics of World War I, and 6 million more died from typhus. Just like that. Death has authority. It's not going to be hard for him, but we're just making it easier. We're just going to make it that much easier for death to do what death does. Let's look at the second example he gives tonight, the second new way of killing, death by wild animals. Did y'all see that? Did y'all think that was kind of funny? I mean, listen, we are an animal-loving nation, aren't we? We got to take care of everything. We've got to take care of the old whooping owl, and we've got to take care of the polar bears and the grizzly bears, and we got to take care of everything. And I love animals, I do. But old Junior Hill said, "What a day we live in! What a day we live in when we treat dogs like people and people like dogs." Now, something's getting ready to happen when the fourth seal's broken. And it's not going to be pretty. Listen to me. What animals come to mind when you first consider this taking place? That wild beasts will help take out 1/4 of the world's population. What animals do y'all think of? Do y'all think of penguins? Huh? You think of lions and tigers. Somebody else. Some bears. Anything else? Coyotes. Anybody else? Wolves. Okay, see, now we named animals that are carnivorous. They're meat eaters, right? Naturally meat eaters. Now, I believe that those animals probably will have some play into it. I really do. But I think we're missing out on the biggest one. John Phillips asked us to consider another animal. The animal he suggests us to consider is the most destructive creature on the planet. It is the most destructive creature on the planet.
Philip says the rat is clever, adaptable, and destructive. If 95% of a rat population was exterminated in any given area, the rat population could replace itself within 1 year's time. 1 year's time. Rats have killed more than all of the wars in all the world's history. And they make their home alongside of man. Rats carry as many as 35 different diseases. Their fleas carry bubonic plague, which killed a third of the population in Europe in the 14th century. Their fleas also carry typhus, which in four centuries has killed an estimated 200 million people. I told y'all, consider lions, tigers, bears, wolves, and all that, but consider the rat. Y'all, how many of y'all like those Fast and Furious movies? Y'all like those things? Yeah, boy. I've seen what you drive, don't we? There's one of them. I can't remember which one it is, but the two guys, It's the second one? Okay. They're going undercover. And they're in this bar room. And the guy who owns the bar is trying to buy some time to get his money out of someplace. I don't know what he is. So he has a police officer, and he grabs the police officer, and he holds him down, and they get a bucket, and they put a rat on his stomach and put the bucket over top of the man's stomach. And he takes a blowtorch and starts heating up the side of the bucket. This is an old rat. I don't like rats, y'all. And the guy says, listen, you are either going to comply or the rat is going to eat you. He said, because he's going to try to get out of the bucket, but once he realizes he can't get out of the bucket, he's going to get out one way or the other. He's going to go through you. Brother Kyle, see, you're trying to scare us, talking to all these rat stories. Listen, I wish I could scare y'all into doing something, the sounding the alarm. It's going to be more than rats. It's going to be more than lions and tigers and bears. How many of y'all have seen that movie, that old Alfred Hitchcock movie, the birds? See, birds today are afraid of us, aren't they? How many of y'all have ever gone outside and held a handful of bird seed and said, and had a bird come flying? Donald, don't answer that. And had a bird come and chirp just right here, like, Snow White, and eat bird seed out of your hand. Anybody ever happen? Brandon, does that happen with you? No? Why? Because, listen, God's created a barrier. They're kind of afraid of us. The day that we're talking about, animals aren't going to be afraid of us anymore. Death is going to be using them as a tool. And whereas we would walk up and say, oh, look at that, look at that precious little floppy-haired rabbit. All the rabbit eats is green. Come here, rabbit. And that rabbit's going to tear you up. Now, I mean, we're giggling about it, but I'm serious, church. Death is going to have his rule with animals. Now, think with me, church. With all the dead bodies laying in the street, rats having unlimited food supply. That don't you think what's going to happen to the rat population on Earth that day? Now remember, I told you just a few minutes ago, if 95% of them were killed in any given area within a year's time, the population would replenish itself. With this unlimited food supply laying everywhere, what's going to happen to the rat population? It's going to explode. War will destroy areas where animals once lived, and this will bring them to us as their food supply. Simply put, when man was created, God enlisted man to control the beast. Y'all remember Genesis? Y'all remember in the garden? Man was enlisted to control the beast. But because of man's rebellion against God, beast will now be the top of the food chain. And this will be one more issue that the Antichrist will deal with to win the support of those who are left behind.
after the rapture of the church. Does anybody want to stay around for that? Church, can you once again see how that right now we're being conditioned for these events? They're coming. We're being groomed to accept them as normal, and they're not. Have you heard enough? Have you heard enough of the coming atrocities that you're now ready to sound the alarm? Go back and just don't read any further. Go back and just read through what we've dealt with, through verse 8 in chapter 6. That ought to be enough for us to just get on fire for Jesus and start telling the world, hey, listen, you've got to repent. Well, why? Go read Revelation 6, verse 1 through 8. It's bad news. You don't want to be here for that. Church, at some time it's got to get personal to you. You've got to let it sink in. You've got to let it know it's going to happen. It's like I told y'all earlier this morning. If this is not true, then God's a liar. Anybody want to stand up and give testament that God's lying? Then you need to start accepting it as truth and sounding the alarm. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this book. We thank you for this message. Lord, light our hearts on fire. God, help us to see. Help us to see how real this is. Not only did John have a front row seat, we had a front row seat tonight to see what's coming. And Lord, we ought to be so upset about what's going to take place here in Savannah, Georgia, that we start sounding the alarm. Help us, Lord, to do that very thing. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come tonight? The altar's open.